They can't redistrict you out of the listening area. Just download the free Seville 107.5 app for your Android or iPhone.
Our special coverage of the Virginia General Assembly and the first session continues with State Senator Bryce Reeves, 17th district for now. I guess you say that, you know, with at the moment, and see where it goes from there, and some great bills that he's got and committee assignments. Bryce, welcome back. How have the first couple of days of government camp been?
Well, it's definitely been a camp or an encampment. If you've seen the Senate floor, our cages are still up, so we're still encamped. And that was a nice, juicy floor debate for the last 2 days. So we'll see what happens to our plastic cages, or if they're going to put the new lieutenant governor in a plastic cage. I'll be curious to see if that happens then, too. So it's fun.
Good luck trying. Well, you know, and I had a listener that suggested that we run like an adopt-a-senator campaign, because you guys kind of look like you're at a shelter and maybe
yeah,
need fostering.
Yeah, play the Sarah McLaughlin music behind there, you know,
right.
And puppy eyes. Yeah, right.
Well, I know that you're very good for the puppy eyes, but I wanted to get into some of the pre-filed legislation that you've got patroning, particularly you've got tell us about, you know, bringing the constitutional carry back to the floor, and what are your thoughts on it? Because, you know, we've seen this movie before, but at least being in person, maybe you can swing a couple of votes on a committee.
Well, at least that's my hope, right? I think I'm one of the few people that ever got a Democrat to even vote my way when we got our concealed carry back. If you remember back then, the NRA gave me the Defender of Freedom Award for getting our concealed carry not only back, but being able to expand it to the 50-state reciprocity. So we're going to give it a shot. I think I have some very good arguments why constitutional carry is valid and why we can get there. But, if I can get it out of the Senate, I know I can get it out of the House. So that'll be the challenge there. But I'm also trying to repeal one gun a month. I mean, it just makes no sense whatsoever for us. And, it doesn't make a difference. It's kind of like the plastic cages they have us in right now. You know, when we didn't know what COVID was and we worried about it, maybe it made sense. But now all the science and the data says, hey, you're doing yourself a disservice and actually putting yourself at risk. But yet now we're in the point where the science doesn't matter anymore because it fits their narrative, right? And so, you know, hopefully reasonable minds will prevail, and we'll be able to get some movement on some of these things.
Well, you know, get us in, and I know this is like, you know, the nerd prom, but, you know, I look at the construct of these committees, and in a body that is, for the lack of any better argument, 50-50, it's 21-19. How, you know, and I know that it happened when the 21 was the Republicans, because you were the 21st one. I remember that.
I was 20. Bill Bowling was the 21st one, right?
Oh, that's so right, because it was a 50-50 flat
foot. 20. Yep, yep.
But,
right.
You know, how can we not address the fact that some of these committees are so heavily weighted one way or the other? Can't we come up with a system where the committees are, for the lack of a better term, 50-50, and then the majority party gets the chair? I don't know. I mean, it just seems like...
Well, listen, you're thinking like a conservative Republican who believes in, you know, fairness. And we've brought that up every year, that they super stack the committees, and, you know, it's about majority rule, right? Mm-hmm. It's all about majority rule, and that's what happened. And, you know, we lost. And when we lost the majority, we lost the ability to do that. And I will tell you, we've been saying in 23, there'll be retribution for that, right? And and then they'll understand what it was like to be put into the wilderness and not treat your counterparts as equals. And so, you know, when you cross that line, don't expect it to get restored. And so, you know, that good faith effort of putting them and having parity on committees, because, you know, I have a couple of my colleagues that have simply been torn off every commission that there is. And, you know, that's not right. And, you know, and then they stack it with themselves, but then they don't even show up to do the work.
Really?
So we'd have No. If you looked at attendance records on some of these boards and commissions, you're going to find out that there were a lot of members that just didn't even show up, right? Because you can only do so many things in a day. And
sure.
So, you know, I know Senator DeStaff was taking off some, and, they took me off a few, but they kept me on some of the ones where they didn't have a clue on what was going on. The Board of Veteran Services, I've stayed on that. I've stayed on the Commission on Military Installation Defense Activities. I've stayed on the Virginia Military Advisory Council. In fact, I've been on that for almost 15 years because I was on there as a civilian before I even thought about politics. So, you know, that continuity for each of these changes, you know, it's not a partisan issue. So you need people who have historical memory there that can say, okay, well, this is where we started, and this is where we are today, and this is what we have to continue to do. And so it's been a challenge. I'll say that. I don't think we're going to get to parity anytime soon.
Let me ask you another nerd prom question, because, you know, there is a court case going on, and we kind of had tongue in cheek at the start about, you know, the 17th district and what district are you going to be in, and certainly then the congressional ones. That's a whole other Bryce Reeves interview for another moment. But at this moment, they're in court saying they want to vote again for the House membership. But if I was a smart attorney, and I'm not in either case, I'd be arguing, saying, well, if you were to be truly aggrieved over the misrepresentation of the House districts, you would also be suing to try to get a Senate election held this year. But since they're not, it seems to identify the fact that their case is they just think they can win the House back.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, I think it has more to do with majority-minority districts more than anything. And so I think that's the gist of it. But I just don't see that happening. Again, I'm not an attorney either, Joe. So we've all, you know.
Maybe that's why we like you so much. We like you so much because, I'm not. But please don't tell Mark Peek I said that. I know.
Ready to broadcast the COVID-19 post-pandemic show. Anytime now. Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Bryce Reeves is on with us, Senator, Virginia Senator, 17th District, Northern Albemarle, up into Fredericksburg. What is your feeling on the new districts? I looked at the Senate districts, and I'm not necessarily against them. I think that they look, in some cases, interesting, especially when you get into areas like Greene County and there, where they've always sort of felt subservient to the Harrisonburg side of their Emmett Hanger's district, things like that. What is your, just as a member, what is your feeling of how the special masters drew the districts?
Well, I'll just speak personally. For me, in the 17th district, I go from a plus 5 Democrat seat to about a plus 16 Republican seat. So that makes it, has its challenges as well, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and what's really kind of ironic is that the counties that were part of the 17th, the last redistricting, are now back in the 17th. So, you know, Greene and Madison that were cut out last time because they were too conservative are now back in. So, you know, I think these guys did as good a job as they could based on the law of what they were trying to do. And, you know, everybody's going to still have to deal with some of these things. But I think by and large, they didn't take into incumbency at all, So if you look at just that aspect of taking the politics out of it, I think they did a pretty good job of taking politics out, right? And drawing the districts based on the geographical data and trying to keep communities of interest together and that sort of thing. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. I mean, I'm pretty excited about the new 7th Congressional District. I've thrown my hat in there. I've always said I'm going to run where I live, and I was in the 7th, and I got redistricted out of the 7th when they had that second to final map, and then lo and behold, I'm back in the 7th, so we're gonna run there.
We're gonna wind
run
it
where
up.
You live. I know in Congress you don't have to live where you run, but I think most of the constituents out there believe that, hey, you ought to live in the communities you're going to represent.
It seems I guess logical is a stretch sometimes when we talk about this stuff. Bryce Reeves on with us. We were talking about some of the, and you have a lot of it, these genie back in the bottle bills there. Given the amount of them, you know, what chances, you know, you have a photo ID bill that you're patroning in on the Senate side. I think Lee Ware has it on the House side. What hope do you give some of, you know, whether it be the Second Amendment or the voting laws, especially in this environment where those seem to be more highly politicized? I mean, even, you know, the president's speech in Georgia the other day.
Well, listen, you know, I think there's political and then there's common sense. And I think most Americans right now, Republican, Democrat, libertarian, liberal, conservative, when you talk about children and parenting, I think Loudoun County exemplified that across the nation. And parents are just tired of politicizing all this stuff. They want their kids taken care of. They want their lives made easier, better, and safer, right? Mm-hmm. And they don't buy the lie that if you don't have an ID, you're disenfranchising voters. That is not, no one believes that. No one, right? And so I think that bill actually has a half decent chance of getting forward. You know, they rolled back all these things that allow integrity in our election system. And that was one of the underpinnings of a lot of these things, is people just didn't believe the integrity of our election systems. And how could they, when they were changing laws and you do something and saying, anybody can come up and vote. You ain't got to have an ID. Mm-hmm. When you have to have an ID to pretty much do anything in life, from a library book to get on an airplane, but you don't have to have an ID for one of the most sacred things we honor in our country is to vote. So I'm pretty hopeful. I got a good co-patron on that bill with Senator Mark Overshane, who's one heck of a constitutional attorney and a great orator. So, you know, I'm hopeful that maybe a couple of my Democrat colleagues will see the errors of their way and say, look, they're right. You know, we've got to put some of these things back into place because we've got to restore integrity in our voter system.
What role, and I'm sure you'll be in, although I understand it's a sellout in Richmond for Saturday for the inaugural. But you know, what role does, you mentioned the lieutenant governor, but the governor himself, as an outsider, a business person, a person who's used to getting, you know, groups together to get a something accomplished, is he going to have a role? I know that his opponent Terry McAuliffe was famous for his ABC cabinet underneath the governor's desk to hold court. I don't know if Glenn Youngkin's quite the same kind of deal maker, but does he have a role to play in getting those couple of votes in a committee that at least gets a bill to the floor for a straight up vote?
Oh, well, I think he will be influential. Absolutely. You know, we're facing some challenges now with regard to some of his cabinet secretaries, and we're working through that. And, you know, the left doesn't like one of the natural resources secretaries because he just happened to work for Trump. I mean, mm-hmm.
Well,
you know,
got,
that's not necessary.
And then you got the Federalist out there salting the earth on the education secretary. So,
right,
you know, and
right.
I've got
with whom I met with yesterday, who I have whole confidence in, and explained to me why some might think some of these things, but I think that'll be even more clear after Saturday.
Okay.
And so, you know, I would just tell listeners that have seen all this stuff, because I've seen it all too, and I'm like, well, where there's smoke, there's fire, and those sort of things. But I personally sat down with her and brought up these things. And you know me, Joe, I'm a straight shooter. Mm-hmm. So I would just tell your listeners that are concerned about her, just hold your powder till you hear it from her, right? And
yep. Well, you have to see the policies
on some of these issues.
Well,
yep, that's right.
And you guys still run the show. I mean, it's not like Washington where, you know, Congress
Absolutely.
Just seems to be, the ATM for all the unelected agencies. You guys actually, get to write policy still there in the Virginia Senate. And we appreciate your visit, Bryce. Again, the website, you mentioned the 7th, so I know there's murky rules. We're not fundraising, so I guess we can mention it. Where's the website? People can visit you for that as well.
BryceReeves.com, because it's a congressional race, we're okay on that. So as long as it's not the state,
oh, that's right,
yes. And everything else, yeah.
Like us, follow us, just don't touch that dial.
I was told that I could listen to the radio at a reasonable volume.
Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.